And then when you like leave that, it's just like, and I'm free. Sparkles.
Yep. Society is bullshit. Society is bullshit.
But yes, no, thank you. I feel very blessed for having heard that.
You're very welcome.
Hey, you want to hear a story?
Hello, and welcome to Lore Makers, the show where we showcase the storytellers, the creators, and the world builders. I am your host, Scarlet Song, she, her, your local librarian, and today we're chatting by lantern light through draping colored fabric and snippets of captured spark as we enter the world with the moon shining overhead of today's amazing guest, Hilaria Carnival Keeper.
Hi, my name is Wyatt Larson. I am the content creator and lore maker and whatever you want to call me, or the moon keep. You can find all my stuff on TikTok. It's great. My pronouns are he, they.
So for those who know absolutely nothing, what's the Moonkeep?
What is the Moonkeep? So the Moonkeep is a traveling bazaar and carnival that it doesn't pack up and travel the normal way that most people see a carnival, you know, a traveling carnival. It's this very lavishly decorated carnival that is of tents of brightly colored silks and canvases and stained glass lanterns that line the pathways between each of these tents. The tents themselves are inspired by the Bedouin people of the Middle East, as well as very heavily Moroccan vibes and Saudi Arabian. Well, let's just take what most people are most familiar with is the United Tavern or the Moonkeep Tavern or Felix's Tavern, however you want to put it. Walking in, everything is floor level. So you have rugs and couches and cushions and very comfortable looking living spaces that are floor level, including tables that are floor level where you can put your drinks and foods and whatnot. And when you come in, there is this high top bar that is very lavishly decorated, kind of like the geometric star designs that are found on the Royal Palace in Morocco. It's this very beautiful, lavish gold embossing that's on this bar. And then you have these shelves that are behind where the barkeeper, like where Felix stands. Each of these are called it's a full moon or a moon gate style. So if you go into Asian, looking at the Asian styles, you have the moon gate, where it's a perfect circular gateway where you can pass through, and the shelves are that style. So it's a shelving unit that is perfectly circular that has shelves that go between each side.
I'm losing my mind. This is amazing.
I could go on for hours about describing it. And then bouquets of stained glass lanterns around, and lots of very fabulously draped fabrics that are both luxurious but also very comfortable and evoke this very luxurious yet fantastical, whimsical, and Middle Eastern fantasy vibe.
Oh, I have so many questions right now. I love, firstly, thank you for blessing us and our ears with such an amazing description just from the bat. So you present your stuff through TikTok, so in very short form. Where do you even begin to be able to pack in so much gorgeous detail in such short form content?
So it it didn't start that way. So the Moonkeep actually began is a side piece, kind of like this origin story for a character that is also on my TikTok. His name is Varen. Varen Thornfoot.
Yes.
And he's this little halfling that is part of the Thornfoot family aerialists of the Moonkeep Carnival. And so, which is only half of the Moonkeep in general, right? The carnival. And so when I was sitting there, the Moonkeep kept coming up, and carnival, okay, so big tent. But what is the Moonkeep Carnival? What is this place? What does it look like? Why is Varen from this place? Why is this important? And the more that I developed the Moonkeep, the more that I looked at it and discovered what the Moonkeep is, how I write is like I channel it. Right. It's not so much that I create it. It's me discovering what it is because it already exists somewhere. Mm-hmm. So it's just me finding it and putting it on paper and putting it out into the universe for our eyes to see it too.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
And yeah, so the Moonkeep began as this little piece and the color and the vibrancy of the Moonkeep developed the more that I discovered. Yep. And I'm an actor. Mm-hmm. I'm an aspiring actor. Like, I want to be way big one day. I want to be on the TV shows and the movies and whatnot. And, you know, being like Keanu Reeves.
I am honored that you chose an eternal being such as Keanu Reeves to compare yourself to, but also that you are blessing us with your presence.
Oh, why, thank you. I'm still really tiny. And even then, like Keanu Reeves, you know, there, I think it was him, maybe it was someone else, but there's a story going around where he walked in and there's this couple and they couldn't afford the ring that the wife wanted or the the wedding. And so he was like, yeah, I'll buy it, and just dropped it. And like, that's the type of person I want to be. Mm-hmm. I don't need money to be happy. Yeah. I just want to do entertainment. I want to bring stories. Yes. I want to be a storyteller. And that is my life and who I am.
Yes.
And the money side of it, you know, sure, fine, whatever, but I'm not going to keep it as long as I'm able to live the style that is true and authentic to who I am. You know, as soon as I have my little hobbit hole and 5-acre garden and whatnot, this cute little space, and I'm able to live comfortably and, you know, be able to pursue and continue pursuing my dreams, that extra money, what am I going to do with it? It's not just going to sit there. Screw that.
Oh my gosh. So,
I forget the tangent or why I went on that tangent.
Well, it sounds like, at least from what I can hear, you're aspiring, right? Which is firstly great, because it's the spark that sends you flying. I love aspiring. Aspiring is like such an awesome word. Don't mind me. I like language.
Created my own languages. I like it too.
Exactly. And what's really amazing about, I think, what you've got going on here is that, at least with what I'm picturing with the Moonkeep, is that the Moonkeep itself is potential, right? The potential to be in like many places and be creative, and that showmanship. So it's reflective of like the things that you want for yourself.
I very much agree with that. That potential is absolutely true. First of all, we all know that comparison is the thief of joy, right?
Yep. Cool.
But that being said, my account is incredibly small compared to some of the other Tavern Talk accounts out there, like Quincy's Tavern, Smoking Barrel Tavern. And I'm personal friends with a lot of these content creators, and they're absolutely amazing. But the potential of the Moonkeep and its transdimensionalness has so much incredible potential. Yes. And it's already in kinetic motion. The fact that I have at 35,400 followers currently at the recording of this. It's like, that's a sizable amount of people. I cannot fathom that in my brain. Like, how many people is that truly? But on TikTok, it's really not that much. And so with that potential and the growth that I'm going through, I'm already being approached by these really big people, these big names, wanting to hire me for certain things and be a part of it and bring the Moonkeep to their fantasy events.
That's cool.
I'm over the moon about some of these things. That
you're over the moon overhead.
I'm
fine. The moon,
I'm the head over heels. I'm heels over the moon. There we go.
Yay! I'm just like, I'm picturing that as the name of one of the acts in the Moonkeep, like the heels overhead, and it's like a stiletto strut across a razor-thin wire kind of act. And like, yeah.
There's some pretty fun acts. No, the Moonkeep is very dear to my heart. And with that being said, the luxuriousness, to go back to the original question, the luxuriousness and the beauty and the colors of the Moonkeep, I'm still trying to capture. When I first started, which is how I went off on this tangent. When I first started and discovered the Moonkeep, all I could afford was a black fabric. Mm. And that's how it started. And I started off with this very basic Varen. And over time, I like upgraded his costume to this very lavish looking costume. And
yes, I love the costumes.
Oh, God, the costumes are great. First of all, we have a place here in America called World Market. And adore World Market. They don't have the type of lanterns that I like, though. But I got one. It's not stained glass or anything, but it's this clear glass. It's my biggest lantern that I have on my set. And that was the first lantern to help me paint a picture of what the Moonkeep is. So it's just this black background and the lantern and a lavish costume for Varen. And that's how it began. And it's encapsulating and making someone feel where they are. In theater, there's something called a black box, right? The black box theater.
Yes.
Literally, there is nothing to the theater. It is literally a black room with five, if that, rows of seats and the stage. Mm-hmm. When you are setting the set to kind of create the environment for people to envision, you're not creating a set. You are bringing key components of what will spark the imagination of the viewer. And then the black is where they fill in the rest of the blanks.
Yeah.
So watched Pride and Prejudice in a black box theater once, and there's a it was great. It was a great show. Went with my mom and my brother.
That honestly sounds amazing.
It was so cool. It was so cool. And the talent of these people, amazing.
Mm.
But all they put for one of these scenes was a bed, a vanity, and a chair. And that is all you needed. And it painted the picture with a black box room and who the character is, painted this picture of this very lavish big room with a fireplace, and it was a part of a chateau. But that's in my mind. That's not the set. And so I took that same idea and applied it to my TikToks. And that's how it started.
I love it. For those who are just unfamiliar with your content. So you've mentioned like Moroccan elements, like the floor tables, the fabrics. What made you choose that as your carnival?
Okay, so I have two immediate answers that come to mind. Mm-hmm. The first one, I didn't choose it. A lot of people are like, oh my God, I created this and that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do the same thing. Absolutely. But it's not what I believe. You know, it's the... Again, going back to the fact, like, I channel everything because it's already there.
Yeah.
It's already something that exists, just maybe not in our perception or our plane of existence, but I want to bring it through. I want to show the beauty of this world. The Moonkeep started out of love, this very sad, very incredibly sad sapphic love story. And that's where the Moonkeep, the origins, you know, 2,337 years ago. That's the origins of the Moonkeep. So when I go through everything and the creation of it, what I see is what I put down. And that is the closest thing that I could put is this Moroccan, Arabic, Middle Eastern, Turkish, desert people, the Bedouin desert people, combining all of that into fantasy and adding magic to it. That is the closest I can get to, like...
Do you want to maybe tell us this tragic... sapphic log story, I say, with bated breath?
I mean, I could read it, absolutely. It's long.
Is there a TDLR version, just because this podcast is only an hour and 15 minutes usually?
Yes, I could boil it down. So the name of it, and a lot of my followers know it, because I read a story per night that I go live. So I go live on TikTok and do this thing for an hour, and at the end of that hour, I read a story that I've written. And all of these stories that I'm writing, they're going into a book that I will release that will one day be called To Whom the Moon Has Kept.
Yes! And love it.
You can then read your own stories or read my stories to your kids about the Moonkeep or the world of Firwind and the different things, the legends and lore of it.
Yep.
And like a lot of my followers are familiar with it. And so this story is called The Legend of the Prince, the Dancer, and the Betrothed. And I never give a name. Mm-hmm. They are only referred to that, those titles, you know. So the prince is this prince of this desert country. Mm-hmm. The betrothed is his betrothed. Mm-hmm. And the dancer is it's never outright said, but I will say she's the daughter of the chief of a traveling desert people, very similar to the Bedouin people, who came in and they invited the prince and the betrothed in. And so after a night of revelry and having fun and whatnot, the betrothed, she saw the dancer. And the dancer, this very beautiful female woman, and they didn't talk to each other. But that night, the betrothed, after taking her prince home, made it a point the following night, on the night of the full moon, to go out to the tent city that had arrived mm-hmm. on the outskirts of this desert city and meet with the dancer and for a full moon cycle. So she escaped and the goddess of the moon elongated the shadows Aww. And protected her and everything. And the goddess is the goddess of trysts of love mm-hmm. that are not to be seen. Mm-hmm. And so these trysted lovers essentially, you know, spent an entire moon cycle. Mm-hmm. And this following moon cycle, the dancer invited her, like, I want you to come with me. And the betrothed wanted to go because she could not see a happy life with the prince. Yeah. And so she agreed, and the following night she packed up, but the prince, who had grown suspicious of her leaving, had fallen.
No!
He did the little stabby stab.
Not the stabby stab!
On the dancer. He killed the dancer. And threw the betrothed into jail for betrayal. And for another moon cycle, the betrothed was in jail, feeding herself, surviving on mm-hmm. scraps of food and minimal water. And there was a moment where she was sleeping on the night of a full moon and heard her door to her cell unlock. And she caught a glimpse of a woman bathed in moonlight before disappearing completely, leaving the door ajar. And so she escaped, ran, found this, the city, the tents had not left yet, ran up to them, saw this massacre of decomposing bodies, realizing that the prince had not only killed the dancer, but killed everyone in this traveling city.
What?
This traveling people. And so she went over to the body of her lover and took her necklace, which was a moon strung like a bow with a diamond on the string.
Ah, hence your logo.
A little bit, yeah. And she began traveling. Mm-hmm. And over time, she gained a following, and she had taken up ribbon dancing mm-hmm. in honor of her fallen mm-hmm. lover. And so that was her performance, is ribbon dancing, and other people mm-hmm. and other performers joined in, and mm-hmm. this started the carnival. Mm-hmm. And the carnival never stayed in the same place, mm-hmm. and they always traveled at night. They always did what they could, and then one night, she saw a dream. Mm-hmm. And had seen her lover standing next to the moon goddess. And the moon goddess and her lover said, make a place where love can abound freely, where secrets can be held, where people can be free and who they are. And that is the birth of the moon keep, is from that.
Oh my gosh. I'm internally crying a million buckets. Oh, so good. So good. Oh, I love it.
That wasn't TLDR, but that was, you know,
I mean, that was like, I could see the big, like the double paged illustrated border spread of what the published version looks like already. Like, oh, love it. But do you believe that tragedy is a beautiful thing then?
You cannot experience or know the experience of life without both the highs and the lows.
Yes.
Actually, in a TikTok recently mm-hmm. that I did, I had lemon juice. It was lime juice. It was actual lime juice mm-hmm. and a little pot of honey. And mm-hmm. essentially I said, you cannot experience life without the sour and the bitter.
Mm-hmm.
But the sour and the bitter, and I, you know, drank it, mm-hmm. and the sour and the bitter make life and the good experiences that much sweeter. Mm-hmm. And I had a spoonful of honey.
Ugh.
And that's, you know, that's my belief is tragedy is one half.
Yes.
Of the experience. And also Shakespeare had to write that tragedy is only a hair's breadth away from comedy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. Do you believe in laughing at your tragedies then?
Oh, yeah.
At least on my end, the number of times I've, for lack of a better word, my friends and family like to say that I thrive in stress. I don't thrive in stress. I'm just constantly surrounded by self-induced stress that I can handle because I'm good. Because
I'm good.
Is that a word? But I find that the laughter and the enjoyment of a past experience, many people who are listening have heard my typhoon camping story and how much I loved camping in a typhoon. But for me, I really enjoy those moments that just like there's that post kind of clarity where you go, oh, yeah. This is dumb. This is stupid. Mm-hmm. You just cackle. Do you have those kind of moments too?
after I have had the time to heal from them.
Yes.
So I'm a very emotional person. And, you know, the easiest way to put it is all of my emotions and memories, if you can see them on a bookshelf, they're all in contained jars. And each jar is like this energy and brightly colored potion, if you will. You know, as soon as I heal from it, I can open that and give new light to it. But, you know, it takes time for me to heal. Otherwise, like, it's very enveloping. So I take the proper precautions and proper care of who I am. Yeah, I can laugh at certain things now.
I just want to give you a hug, man. Like, but with your permission, because consensual hugs are important.
Absolutely.
I say, thinking about the mimic I have to deal with next week in Phoenix's Feywild game. That I didn't ask for this hug, but
here we are.
So with the Moonkeep, there are multiple layers at this point, and one of the very interesting and wonderful things about TikTok is that duets are a thing, right? And one of the things I noticed in your content is that you really open the Moonkeep up to duets. So do you enjoy the collaborative element of creating the Moonkeep Carnival with other people?
The Moonkeep came through me. It is not just mine.
Yep.
It's so many other people. And, you know, when I first like brought the Moonkeep out, I had this Google Docs questionnaire, whatnot. And I posted it to the public. I'm like, help me fill the Moonkeep Bazaar and Carnival, because I don't know who's here. And so people created characters, and I ran with those characters. And one of my good friends, she created Valdentia Sorghum. And Valdentia Sorghum is, of course, the owner and purveyor of the Sorghum Bakery, her and her family. The Sorghum Bakery creates the moon cakes, and the moon cakes are these fabled, legendary, magical cakes with honey-like glaze dripping down people's hands and are like sweet, but not overly sweet. And they're reminiscent of the moon, and they change phases depending on the moon cycle. If you ever keep a moon cake for a long period of time.
Oh, that's cool.
The icing on it will change color depending on the...
Oh, that's cool.
And that, all of that was my friend's creation. And I have put that, and that is canonical in the Moonkeep. And another person, a follower, created the Oracle, Kyahin. And I put Kyahin in every once in a while, or like allude to him. But like the most important thing is it's not just mine. It's not just my creation. I love it. I adore it when I have people duet, because I am part of Tavern Talk. You know, the Moonkeep is this very unique thing, this traveling bazaar and carnival. You never see something like it.
Just very quickly, what is Tavern Talk for those who have absolutely no idea? It's me.
You know, TikTok, the talk in TikTok, you put that on the side or on the end of whatever genre you're in. So there's like witch talk, tavern talk, fantasy talk, there's politic talk. But, you know, there's all these things. So the talk is a genre within TikTok. And so I am part of Tavern Talk, and see a lot. My FYP is all over the place. You know, the music talk is a big thing on my FYP. I love seeing people sing, and Bobby Bass is like a great person. I love it when he comes across. I'm like, yeah, you know who that is? He got a free shout out from me. But yeah, so Tavern Talk is the genre of TikTok that the very first creator, most people know him, Quincy.
Yep.
And Quincy's Tavern. Everyone knows, knows Quincy. Like 4.7 million followers, this wonderful, amazing person. And yeah, he's huge. And he is, you know, doing Evermore Park, doing the convergence with Smoking Barrel and whatnot in 2023. And he's this very amazing person. He straight up single-handedly made Tavern Talk. He created a new fantasy genre as just centered around taverns. And so me coming in, I'm part of Tavern Talk. Kind of interesting, because he was my inspiration to join TikTok in the first place. He and Smoking Barrel influenced me in taking the Moonkeep and what it is and joining Tavern Talk. And from the moment that I joined Tavern Talk, that's the moment I exploded. I went from 2,000 followers for 6 months to 34,700 followers in the other 6 months. I'm like, okay.
So you mentioned that the duets and stuff are kind of like your way of interacting with your followers and creating more of the Moonkeep. Less creating more of the Moonkeep and more expanding the Moonkeep and channeling more of it into a presentable style. Do you have a favorite thing that you kind of express with the Moonkeep?
Well, the most prevalent character is Felix. And most people know him just like the, oh yeah, you're the tavern keep. And most people actually don't know his name is Felix. But
always know your bartender's name.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, how dare you? Oh yeah, we're the one that can get you a free shot or kick you out. You never know. No, so Felix is my most prominent, though I allude quite a bit to Varen. And every now and again, I'll get back into costume for Varen. But
yeah, Varen seems to be like a lot of layers.
That's a lot.
From what I could see of the costume.
Yeah, lots of layers and makeup. And I created Felix because I want it to be easy to get into costume and not have to put on layers of makeup every single time I get into costume. So I'm like, yeah, so I created Felix to be simple. He's a very simple man. Mm-hmm. And which he has grown to not be that simple, but
do you like to decorate?
I mean, if you haven't seen my set, yeah, absolutely. One, to answer your first question, the Moonkeep is a place for everyone. Mm-hmm. That's the message that I want to give people. Mm-hmm. Like, when I say may the moon shine over your head, it's a blessing from me, from Felix, from the moon goddess, from the Moonkeep, from Varen, whoever is giving it, mm-hmm. in hopes that you will one day return. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Moonkeep is a place of safety, a place for trysts of love that should never have happened, but need a safe place to flourish, you know, a place where you can come and be free without the confines of society to be one's person. It's like going to Comic-Con, essentially.
Like, I was about to
say. That's what the Moonkeep is like. Yeah. And the second thing is, like, absolutely love to decorate. My set is this lavish thing and it is growing day by day. And my next purchase is going to be adding the foreground. And I'm really excited.
I do have some people who have asked some questions on that. But before we get to Q&A, my last general question to you is, why do you think you channeled a safe space like the Moonkeep?
Because I wanted a safe space. You know, we've kind of talked about it a little bit, the fact that I have lived a life. Giving the advice that I have so far in places that, you know, in questions that you have thus asked me so far, I have lived life. I have lived a very long life, and I am 26, and I have died twice.
Oh, what?
I have died twice in my life and have gone through a lot of spiritual growth. Mm. You know, myself, my spirituality, if we really want to get into it.
If you want to, no pressure.
Oh, no, like it's just part of who I am. I'm a shamanism practitioner. I work with the spirits. Okay. I work with the earth. I work with the planet. And I help people heal. And actually, before I started TikTok and acting, I had a business. And I, you know, that was my business, is to help people heal using the energies and help them heal themselves. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for that, I would not be in the place that I am. Mm. And just to give a few wonderful tragic backstories of why I want this place to be such a safe space, is I was grounded for 2 years when I came out to my parents being gay.
What?
And it was incredibly hard. I wasn't allowed to I wasn't allowed to stay after school unless it was after school activities. Wasn't allowed to go hang out with friends. No sleepovers. They took my phone away.
Oh my
I had
goodness.
No phone for those 2 years.
Yeah.
And so I overloaded myself with, I wanted friends. I wanted a life outside of being home in this tragic place. And my parents weren't happy either. So, like, they ended up getting divorced. And
oh, damn.
You know, its own thing. And, like, things are much healthier now. And I have forgiven them for this. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to say that to everyone. Disclaimer, I have forgiven my parents for the trauma that they've given me. Mm-hmm. And I have healed from it since then. But, you know, I overloaded myself. I was in plays. I did swimming. I did marching band. Mm-hmm. I was in color guard a little bit. I did, you know, choir and
all the things,
orchestra. And yeah, no, it was like all the things. Because I didn't want to be at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, some of us, that's our life, unfortunately. But I want people to have an escape. There's nothing more cathartic and great feeling than having an escape somewhere that you can feel safe, even if you aren't in a physically safe space. And the Moonkeep and my creation of this safe haven, if you will, sprouted from that, because I didn't have a safe space. I want people to have a safe space.
Man, your kokoro is so shining. It's so good.
I don't know what that means, but I'm glad.
Kokoro is, so in Japanese, the word kokoro is usually used to refer to the heart, but it actually embodies like multiple levels. So it's not just the physical heart. It is also the emotional heart and the spiritual heart. Mm. So I often use kokoro because like I lived in Japan for 5 years, and when you learn the meaning of kokoro, it's just such a better use of the word heart for me. So that's why I use it.
The English language does not compare.
Anyway, firstly, thank you for sharing that. I'm just very honored that you wanted to say that to me.
Well, this is also a safe space.
Yes, it is.
And I, no matter where I go, if I do not feel safe, I'm not going to talk.
That's fair. 100%.
Mm-hmm. And so I Good. Try to make it a point that I am a safe space, as well as in spaces that are safe, that I also share that I am a safe space and I feel safe.
I'm just so very honored. Thank you so much. I'm going to cry. I'm sorry. I'm such a sensitive being. I'm just like, oh, the rules that I grew up with are not really a thing. Huh. How wonderful is that? And then when you like leave that, it's just like, and I'm free. Sparkles. Yep.
Society is bullshit. Society is bullshit.
But yes, no, thank you. I feel very blessed for having heard that.
You're very welcome.
I'm fine. Anyway, are you ready for some questions?
Go for it. I'm always ready, yeah.
Welcome to the Q&A part of our campfire chat. You may ask your questions to our Discord or our Twitter. So make sure you follow at Makers Lore for news, future guest announcements, or to get your questions featured on our next recording session. Our first question comes from the illustrious QuestJunkies UK at QuestJunkies UK, aka Patch, aka the sweetest bean.
He is sweet. He's great. I love him.
I love Patch. Just Patch, love you. I know you're listening to this on your way to work. Mwah. What was the inspiration behind specifically the lanterns for the Moon Keep?
No clue. No clue why the lanterns came about. To be completely honest, and Patch, I know that is an absolutely terribly anticlimactic response, is there is no reason behind it. I liked the look of them, and it fit, and it has become such an integral part. But I can tell you the lore behind it.
Oh, yeah. Hit me up.
So there's five keepers of the Moon Keep thus far. Mm-hmm. The first one, Mara Baltak, she is the betrothed. That's her name.
Yep.
So Mara Baltak is the first keeper of the Moon Keep. Mm. Going forward, you have Kamenos, mm-hmm. Muse Kamenos. Their first name is Muse. Mm-hmm. They are a tiefling. Mm-hmm. And so Keeper Kamenos was very much like Mara. Mm-hmm. Then you have Emperor Tumult. Mm-hmm. And these three did not bring a lot to the table of the Moonkeep mm-hmm. in general. Mara Baltak and Muse Kamenos, they ran the Moonkeep, both the Carnival and the Bazaar, mm-hmm. exactly the same. They were, Muse wanted to be exactly like Mara. Mm-hmm. And Mara was this very hurt woman who kind of implored and impeded and like pushed her ideals onto her heir, essentially.
Yep.
And Muse ran with that because Muse wanted a mother figure mm-hmm. and didn't have that and was essentially adopted mm-hmm. by Mara. So Muse wanted to run it exactly like mm-hmm. Mara because that's how it's always been mm-hmm. done, doesn't need to change. And then Emperor Tumult, as great as he was more about mm-hmm. the people of the Moonkeep mm-hmm. than the aesthetics. So it's not that there was a lot of black and white, it mm-hmm. just wasn't as colorful. So you have these very, very honestly great, mm-hmm. great, and I mean amazing trendsetters. You have these amazing people who laid the foundation for the Moonkeep. Everything before the lanterns was braziers. Just open fire, open flame, candles, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. The fourth keeper, Eldan, she came, it's kind of my little nod to Critical Role here. So Eldan is a pallid elf, and a pallid elf comes from mm-hmm. the plane of Exandria. And I could go on about Critical Role and their importance to me and my heart and my healing.
It's okay.
But
I understand.
It's my little nod.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, I'll just throw it in there. Like I went through a terrible breakup and in the middle of our shutdown mm-hmm. of the wonderful pandemic, in the middle of the shutdown for the 3 months, I was going through a very, very, very hard, terrible breakup. And the only laughter I had was the Mighty Nein.
Yep.
and it was, I was crying the rest of the time. Otherwise, I was laughing with the Mighty Nein, and I wove myself into their story because I did not want to be in my body. I did not want to be who I was in the pain that I was going through. So I, you know, I was part of the Mighty Nein as far as I was concerned. I was, you know, walking through with them. Yep. I cried when we lost our wonderful.
No, it's all right.
When, anyway, moving on.
long may he reign.
Spoilers. Long may he reign. But moving on, I cried with them. I laughed with them. Mm-hmm. They became family to me. And I wrote to them and I told them, you will know my name.
Dang right.
You will know who I am. You have inspired me. You have helped me heal. You will know who I am because I am going to pursue this because this is my passion. I want to be either a voice actor or a full-on screen actor. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know that you created this, that you helped create who I am. And so Eldan, her full name, Eldan Raya.
Let's go.
Let me just like gloss over that and like go right back into lore.
Backstory to lore building. Let's go. Yeah.
Let's go. We're not going to cry here.
Yep.
Eldan Rael, when she presented herself to me, she was my nod because I knew I wanted to bring something of Matt Mercer and the inspiration that Critical Role has brought to my life. I wanted to send a nod to them. And the best nod that I could think of is just creating a character that is a race of his creation. And so the pallid elf, Eldan Rael, who came from Exandria originally but ran away from a terrible home life, became the fourth keeper of the Moonkeep.
Yes.
And she brought the understanding that the moon is not one color. If you look at the moon, it is a blue moon, it is a red moon, it is an orange moon, it is black, it is white, it is silver, it is gray. There's so many colors of the moon.
Yes.
So she brought the color of the Moonkeep. She brought the silks, the canvases, and she brought the lanterns, which is where the lore of the lanterns come from, is from Eldan Rael. And she was the longest living keeper of the Moonkeep.
Damn.
At 900 something years. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Moonkeep has been going around for, I think I said, 2,237 years. She was over half of that. And now it's on to Varen, but she brought in the color. And, you know, I could go into the philosophies and the reasons for that. But quite literally, you know, Critical Role colored my life, and they've colored it in a good reason. And that is, again, a
nod. Oh, I love it so much.
To them. And oh, yeah. No, I get super emotional and I'm like on the verge of tears right now, which is why I'm talking fast.
You're fine.
But
you're fine.
So that's Eldan is the most meaningful to me. And she is the second most beloved keeper of the Moonkeep. So. And she brought the lanterns. That's the long answer, Patch. I hope you like it.
So how many lanterns do you actually have at the moment? And how many more are coming?
I have six.
How many more do you reckon you're going to get before the end of the year?
Before the end of the year? Oh, I have no clue. I only plan on getting one more.
Ooh.
And that is for the shelves. I want one, and it's going to be stamped metal. So it's not going to have any of the stained glass. It's literally just stamped metal, and we'll just be sitting on top of the shelves. That's it.
Seven lanterns is very lucky there.
Yeah. Well, and this one... my star lanterns were gifted to me from a wonderful follower. There we go. Not subscriber, because they're not paying me money, but they were gifted from a wonderful follower. And I keep
so
one
sweet.
In my little booth because I already have one of the star lanterns that they gifted me on my set. So.
Yes. I really love your set at the moment. It's like, yum. Just.
It's going to get better. It's going to get so much better.
Oh, I really love just this, the composition of it. Sorry, from like an artistic set design point. I'm like, yes. I love the way that you kind of communicate such a larger space in such a small space, right? Because like the vertical format of video, it can be really difficult to communicate how large and how grand a place can be. But like you said, with the black box theater, you really managed to communicate that with the few elements you have in the background. I'm like, I love it. It's just yum, delicious, mwah, tasty. Mwah. Anyway. Our next question comes from Brandon Hudson at bhuds_13. Where does the phrase "may the moon shine over you" come from? We already kind of covered that. But the other question on here is also, what is the most requested item at the Moonkeep or Felix's tavern?
Oh, man. May the moon shine over your head is a blessing. And it mm-hmm. came from my, like, you know, honestly, just being open and transparent. Mm-hmm. It came from my necessity to close out the night without just saying bye. And
yep, it's just like later. You know,
that feels so rough and very harsh. And I don't want that.
Night.
Night. Sleep well, sweet dream. Fuck it. No. I don't want that.
What is it to Samuel L. Jackson? Go the fuck to sleep.
Go the fuck to sleep. No, I don't. That's not the moon keep. Mm-hmm. So it came from the necessity of having that closure. A mm-hmm. Very soft, very blessing closure. And so may the moon shine over your head isn't just me saying goodnight. Mm-hmm. It's also if you're going on a trip. May the moon shine over your head. Because no matter where we are, mm-hmm. the moon is above us. The moon will always be with us. It is our constant companion. And so why wouldn't the moon watch over us?
Especially knowing the lore behind that now. It's like, I'm fine. I'm also not tearing up. Yum. And the most requested item at the Moonkeep or Felix's Tavern?
Okay, so I have been like looking at that question, no shame, for weeks. And I'm like, I don't know. I really don't know. But it's honestly kind of clear. The Moonkeep is mm-hmm. honestly going to be food. And one of those items, being how I built it and worked with my friend mm-hmm. in creating Valdencia Sourgum's bakery.
Yes.
The mooncake, you know? People walking around with honey glaze dripping down their hands, mm-hmm. eating this delicious pastry, and they're laughing and they're having fun, and like mm-hmm. when you go mm-hmm. places,
yep,
at least for me,
yes,
food is everything. Food is where you experience the culture. And mm-hmm. what is the food and what is the culture of the Moonkeep? Mm-hmm. You know, sweet, mm-hmm. fun, tasty, mm-hmm. rich, something that is deep and mm-hmm. steeped in the history of itself. So the mm-hmm. you know, the just straight up the mooncake mm-hmm. is going to be the mm-hmm. most requested item. In Felix's Tavern, at least mm-hmm. as far as the drink goes, it would be the Dragon's Revenge, which comes from another legend that is one of my most requested legends to read, is the legend of Argentas and her revenge against the moon.
For those who aren't here, because we are, like, while we're talking, we're on camera, yeah. I'm doing the thing where I put my head in my hands and be like, story time. Blink, 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 blink.
Story time.
Please.
Do you want TLDR or do you want me to read it?
Unfortunately, yeah, it'll have to be the TLDR version. Unfortunately.
Oh, you're good. TLDR, I can do a TLDR on this one. So Argentas, she is a white dragon. And in this, it's the legend of Argentas and the legend of how the moon got her scars, S-C-A-R-S. So the mm-hmm. pockmarks, the scratches, the mm-hmm. you know, the craters and everything that decorate the moon. Mm-hmm. And so these two are the same legend. And so Argentas, you know, she loved how she looked in the mm-hmm. moonlight. She gleamed. She was a white dragon. Mm-hmm. She would fly over cities just to hear them scream, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Not actually attack, but mm-hmm. she just was very
evil,
self-centered.
Being the, what is it? That's like,
you know, very, very narcissistic. You know,
like your token would monologue with for like 2 hours if they could, just while the heroes are slowly cutting their bonds free. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
Oh, yeah. Very, very narcissistic, very self-centered, mm-hmm. you know, very full of beans. So she's kind of this character. So anyway, she loves how she looks. And when she grew to age of bearing mm-hmm. eggs, having a clutch of eggs, she found the tallest mountain mm-hmm. that she could, created her mm-hmm. lair, had a nest of eggs. But the city below her did not appreciate mm-hmm. this. So the royalty, the nobles of it, hired a adventuring party. Mm-hmm. And they successfully snuck in and grabbed the eggs and destroyed mm-hmm. them and then set fire to her mm-hmm. cavern. To her lair. And when they're escaping, she finally made it out and she destroyed the adventurers mm-hmm. after she, you know, hunted them down. But after her rage subsided, she realized that her skin, her scales, her wings were scarred black mm-hmm. and permanently stained. And her bellowing of mm-hmm. ice, essentially, it was scratchy and hoarse and mm-hmm. terrible. And so she harbored this anger and she instead created her lair deep in the depths of the planet mm-hmm. deep in a very deep cavern and a a little adventurer found her just on mm-hmm. accident, and before he was killed, mm-hmm. you know, because rage and dragons, he asked her, if you're a white dragon, why are your scales black? And that set her off again, and she, you know, grew jealous of the moon mm-hmm. in its purity and how beautiful it was, like mm-hmm. she used to long ago. And so she raged, and she exited her cavern, and she flew straight mm-hmm. up into the moon, and her blackened skin and wings casting enormous mm-hmm. shadows of black on the world below her. And then the goddess of the moon blew her into dust, but not before she had exacted her mm-hmm. revenge on the moon. And this left the moon scarred and pocked and damaged, just like mm-hmm. Argentas was. And Argentas's final name was Argentas mm-hmm. the Shadower, as she not only shadowed the moon, but shadowed the world below her.
Ah, good stuff.
And the last part of the legend is you can, on the clearest of nights, you can still see Argentas mm-hmm. attacking the moon. And this is, to me, alluding to that mm-hmm. there's a galaxy behind the moon, yep. usually, that is much closer to, like, Andromeda is to us, but it's like much closer mm-hmm. and you can see mm-hmm. the galaxy. So that's me kind of saying, like, hey, astronomically, you know, yeah. Argentas, what you think as Argentas is actually
it's like right there system. Just casually, you just can't see it because this moon shines so bright, and that's just so much worse.
It's so much worse. And this, you know, used to be a dragon, but yeah. now it's just dust, and it's permanent, it's in the good sky stuff. But mm-hmm. there's a drink at mm-hmm. the moon keep mm-hmm. at Felix's tavern called mm-hmm. Dragon's Revenge, or mm-hmm. Argentas's Revenge. And it's, I like to imagine it kind of like a chocolatey white Russian with a little bit of a vodka floater on it that's lit, like, on fire.
I don't know why, but I'm picturing it in almost like a sake dish, like, so it's like a full moon. Like,
I have not thought of that. I have just been imagining mm-hmm. it in a tall glass, and you can see the striations of dark chocolate, like the chocolate syrup going up and down the glass.
That's that how sounds so delicious, though. So delicious, but full of revenge. All right. Are you ready for D20 questions?
I am always ready for more questions, and I have my D20 ready.
It's time to roll dice. D20 questions is a fun little segment where I have one or more. It's a mystery. Sets of 20 questions, and our interviewee will roll upon this table with a 20-sided polyhedral die known best as a D20. So, what's your first number?
18.
Okay. If you could travel anywhere to create, or film in your case, where would you create?
Anywhere to create. Okay, well, if I'm creating lore, I usually like to go somewhere that is silent, somewhere quiet, somewhere where... Okay, it ends up not being silent or quiet, but somewhere that is serene. And then I always put on fantasy music. And that is literally all I listen to, is just fantasy music or fantasy mm-hmm. ambiance. I have no life.
Excuse me, fantasy ambiance? I love it.
I don't know who the current musicians are, but by God, I can tell you that there is some good-ass fantasy music out there.
Thank you, Michael Gelfi.
If I'm filming, obviously, I go to my set. Mm-hmm. But if I were to, you know, bring the Moonkeep anywhere, if I had an infinite amount of money, mm-hmm. like, the Moonkeep set would be far more luxurious mm-hmm. and beautiful. If I didn't have a set, I would either just straight up make the Moonkeep physical and film there.
Yeah.
Or I would go to Arborea. You know, I would go somewhere that is very forested mm-hmm. because Arborea is the home, the plane where it resides, mm-hmm. the Moonkeep resides mm-hmm. Outside of a full moon. Mm-hmm. On the nights of a full moon, it plane shifts into the material planes mm-hmm. and comes back. And so I would go to a place where I would envision would be Arborea, mm-hmm. full of trees, very beautiful, mm-hmm. lake, river, whatever. And I would film there, like, oh, I'm going to the Moonkeep. I have to trek through this wood or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Which I did something like that. But yeah.
I definitely think, at least on my end, I love camping. Like, I love camping. Especially, I love camping in the autumn and spring months, like, especially, or even winter months. I just, that warmth of a fire against the cold. I went to a swordcraft event, so a LARPing event called Voyage. It was 3 nights, and it was icy. It was icy one of those nights. And you could feel everyone huddling around the fire in character in the warmth. And it was amazing because I was a sassy fox lady who took no shit. It was my first time going to one of these events. I love that. So I was playing a kitsune, a fox shapeshiftery type, and I had convinced everyone that there was one, a shapeshifter in town. It was me. They didn't think it was me.
As trickster gods do.
She was really fun to play as. But I think for me, like, the best type of inspirational sort of scene is an ambiance of things are happening, but I'm not there, if that makes sense. Like, I really enjoy being around people or being around nothing but nature and, like, not people. Like, nature is existing without us. It's having fun. It's doing its thing. And, like, just sitting in that nice, maybe even a sunny patch, maybe curled up, but just that nice atmosphere of, like, ah, yes, existing. I like this. And that's really inspirational for me.
Existence.
Ah, existence. How darling.
Fantasy existence, first of all. In Oregon, where I live,
yeah,
I always say that Oregon is the most beautiful, most magical. And I'm not wrong.
It's really pretty. I've seen pictures. I used to have a coworker that lived there or is now living there again.
Amazing, especially the Pacific side. Mm-hmm. And you can just go out into the woods and, you know, trees that are covered in, you know, 6 inches of moss, mm-hmm. and just rivers and waterfalls everywhere. And you walk around and you see trillium flowers. You see other rare flowers. Mm.
Lovely.
You can go, like, crystal hunting, like, so anywhere cool. that you want to, like, very prosperous. Mm-hmm. And it's the most magical place I've ever lived. And I adore it here. And I have done a lot of films, not a lot of films. I've done a few things that mm-hmm. I film outside when I'm working. And
would you say nature's a big inspiration for you?
Inspiration isn't the right word.
Okay.
I don't draw necessarily inspiration from nature mm-hmm. in the way that we think about it. Mm. I suppose. So obviously I draw inspiration from the celestial objects, from the moon. Especially with the moon keep. Mm-hmm. Like, once I, like, build natural areas, I'm sure I'll pull mm-hmm. a lot more inspiration from it. But to me, it's more of a place to relax mm-hmm. and to wind down and mm-hmm. not have to think about constantly creating or constantly having to go to work or
yep.
having to do this or that or
yep.
who or mm-hmm. it's a place for me to quiet a mind.
Yeah.
And I often have started just not thinking about content creation or
yeah.
world building or anything
yeah.
when I go out into nature. So
that's good. That's really good. As a confessed workaholic, I will say that, like, very often I find myself, if I get a chance to meditate, I'll meditate. My father teaches a variant of martial arts called Panchat Silat. I grew up with that and sort of that ambiance of, like, in tune with nature and you are it from a very, very young age. One could even say that it is highly influential in my life. Cough, cough, cough. Please, people, take care of the planet. But definitely, I found that just stepping out and just staring at a body of water or just being around things, just my mind is blank. I am free of that sort of constant thought of, because I have a lot on my plate because I love to create and I love to share creating and, like, talking to people about their things, and it's really, really fun for me. And I love helping out people if I can as well. So it's really nice to just kind of and just kind of be one with it, you know?
I feel that, yeah.
Are you ready for your next question?
Yeah.
Let's go.
12.
Okay. What is your favorite kind of weather?
My favorite kind of weather?
Mm-hmm.
I like crisp fall mornings where the fog is just, not like fog that is everywhere.
Not Silent Hill.
But fog that's creeping along the ground and where the sun has just risen and is very, like, if you go sit in a bay window, it's like butter melting across your skin.
Yes.
That is my favorite kind of weather. Mm-hmm. And I also love rain and snow.
Yeah.
The very crisp, cool mornings.
Yes.
Drinking tea.
Yes.
The sun is just coming up and it's very crisp and cold, but the light, only the light is
yes.
warm. Yes.
1000% yeah. that. I love that feeling. It's half the reason I get up before sunrise, probably.
Yeah, I don't get up nearly as much to enjoy it because I do too much into the night.
That's fair. It's really rough, honestly. Like, I was complaining about this with Patch from Quest Junkies UK. Just, time zones, like, wanting to hang out with people, but, like, the hours not being right. Luckily, Rodania is on, honestly, during the exact time I'm awake for the most part. For me, I definitely love, like, those cold winter morning sunrises are amazing. Just like you say, like the butter melting sun feeling, or just like, amongst all of the cold, I found the one warm spot. And you kind of just plonk and you just lightly bake yourself, maybe slowly rotating along the sunny patch on the floor if you get a chance to relax. I love it.
That was, this also brings the moon into it too. I used to work out wildland fires and I was a camp cursor. I took care of the camp for these wildland firefighters and whatnot. And I had to be one of the first people up because I took care of the supply tent. So, you know, people would come in, want supplies, they're going out into the fire, they're fighting the fire, they need, you know, this, that, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And so I was in charge of getting them whatever they needed. But because I was the first one up, I was up when the sun was not.
Yes.
And so I would get up and we have like these big propane tanks with like the heater on top, and you like light it and you're like huddled next to it. On the particularly chilly mornings, I would do that. But the majority of the time, when the sun was just peeking above the horizon, I would go out of the tent, and which was this massive fucking tent, first of all. But I would sit with the sun at my back, and I would look up at because it was perfectly west when I awoke. And when I was there at that specific camp, I saw an entire cycle of the moon. And so I saw where the placement was at the exact time every day. And so I saw the moon calendar, essentially, if you look it up and see that. Saw where the moon was placed at every single stage of its cycle of the waxing and the waning. And it might be part of, you know, my inspiration for the moon keep, but the moon is like a constant friend of mine. I love the moon. I adore it. She is beautiful. She is something that is a constant friend of mine. So that, like, the same effect of like having the sun there and being able to look at my friend.
Yes.
You know, the moon was always.
Yes.
I loved that fire. Sad it was a fire and sad that the forest was burning, but, you know, I loved
that moment.
That experience. Yeah. So.
I mean, we talked about it, like, can't know the good things without the rough times to some degree, but like.
True.
It's so good. All right. Last one. Are you ready?
Last one. All right. Five.
Okay, this is from the table that I specifically created for this interview. What is the most annoying piece of costume to put on?
Depends on who I'm getting into costume for. Both of my characters that I, you know, portray, Varen or Felix, have ears. Those are slightly annoying, but not the worst. For Felix, it is the apron. Because the apron that I got does not like to stay clipped to me. And so there's a little thing on the side of it, and it's two little snap buttons that I like snap because, I mean, that's how you put it on, that straps it to my bag. And so like I'll snap it there, and if I like bend down wrong, it pops them both off. I'm like,
no.
And I used to have a belt that I would tie around that would kind of stave that off, but that belt broke down and I'm in the process of leather working a new belt, but I don't have the right stain for it, and I don't have the money to go get it right now, so I'm like, so now I have to deal with this crappy apron. Which sucks because it was like $45. I'm like, this is an expensive apron.
It looks gorgeous. Like, it looks amazing on camera, but
I certainly hope so.
Have you considered attaching a hook and eye to it? So, like, if it does pop,
I have. I'm just lazy.
All of me is like, I have the hook and eye. Wait, no, we're not close enough for me to be able to just give it to you.
I know we're on opposite sides of the planet.
Hasn't stopped me before.
Fair. Need to come visit anyway.
I need to visit Oregon. It is the friend who lives there that I was talking about briefly. It's her birthday today, as of recording.
Oh.
And all of me is like, she keeps going, come to Oregon! Scarlett, you like camping? I'm not one for camping, but you can camp out in my backyard.
In my backyard.
And I'm like, yes.
No, if you come to Oregon, like, I'll go camping with you.
Yes!
Oregon. Love camping. Is amazing. And like, I know a spot that's only 50 feet away from a waterfall, so.
Wait, really? That's so cool. Yeah.
It's good.
Have you checked behind it? Does it have a chest?
I have not. That water is freezing. It's like 1 degree above freezing. It is cold. But if you really want to, in the middle of summer, it is, you know, 12 feet deep in the pool. You can jump from the cliffs. But
so cool.
It is cold. I would not go check behind it. But there's like some cool shale and whatnot. If you want to go like fossil hunting, you could like right next to the waterfall.
So cool. That makes me so happy. All right.
Yeah.
So that ends us on the podcast today. But do you have any tips, tricks, inspiring words that you have for anyone who is considering starting their own TikTok or even delving into Tavern Talk?
Okay. That is a conversation on its own. Okay. TLDR. So if you're first starting TikTok, do not make it a numbers game. Create what you want.
Yeah.
And just go for it. And the biggest thing, little backstory, because that's how I work.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started TikTok, I did not want to put my voice onto the internet. I hated my voice and I am still doing a lot of.
But it's so soothing.
I appreciate that.
I like completely zoned out in happy listening to story mode anytime you were speaking in story. I was just like, and here's my blankie. And like, it was, you have a lovely voice.
Oh. I've been told that so much. And it's like, it's helping me heal my my aversion to my voice.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the biggest thing is don't be afraid of your voice.
Mm.
TikTok wants personality, wants to be personable. TikTok and social media in general mm-hmm. wants to get to know you as a creator and what you create. And if mm-hmm. you're in character, who is the voice of the character? Doesn't mean you have to create a voice, doesn't mean you have to voice act, but they want to hear the character mm-hmm. through you. And as far as mm-hmm. starting goes, you're not going to have a set. And if you have a set right away,
damn.
First of all, that's a shit ton of money and damn. And second of all, it's going to change
mm-hmm.
because your vision is not going to be the same in 3 months as what it is now.
Yes.
Let it grow naturally, but just start.
Mm-hmm.
And that's any social media. Just start, just mm-hmm. go for it and be happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Create what you enjoy. Otherwise, you're going to hate getting into costume every single time you have to, which is why I created Felix.
Yep.
Again, going back to that, like, I love Varen. I hate getting into costume for Varen.
Mm-hmm. I empathize with that. Like, one of the things that ended up being both a character choice and a general choice for Corey, because I'm not a face cam streamer. Usually I use like a little PNG tuber avatar that I use to represent myself on stream usually. And it means that I get to draw me as an extra fluffy werewolf. So that makes me happy. I mean, not a werewolf. There are no werewolves. It's just a costume. One of the things that my character had because of now revealed backstory things, she hates seeing her teeth because there is a hag in her life that is of the crooked teeth who is like, oh, scary tooth fairy vibes. Tasty. But so she wears a mask. And one of the things that, at least for me, helped me get into character, but also helped me be more comfortable on a face cam stream was putting on a mask. It ended up meaning that I could embody my character a little bit better. And I find that when I am on one shots or I'm doing anything, usually I'll do something special with my hair or I'll put on some eyeshadow that I normally wouldn't just to kind of like, here's my character anchor. If that makes sense. Like if I put this on,
mm-hmm.
I am this character. And I find that at least for me, that really helps. But that can be as simple as a voice or talking a little slower than usual. Like, it doesn't have to be perfection. It can just be something that, hey.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Having a character anchor to help you find your character is necessary
mm-hmm.
in all acting. And, you know, for a lot of people, especially voice actors, that is finding the voice of that character and mm-hmm. getting into that voice and saying a cheesy pickup line that they would say or something, you know, just like using that, getting into character. Absolutely, character anchor. The other side of it is, how do you anchor back into yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, aftercare is absolutely necessary. And yes. How do you get out of character?
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. I am like a very heavy role player. Anyone will tell you, like, I was crying on Phoenix's last stream because we had such a huge backstory drop. And it was like genuinely a scary moment. And for me, I can switch out. Again, if I've got the mask, I can pull it just off. Or in this case, it was coming off for the character and I had to put it back on. And then I was like, okay, no, I'm fine. Because that kind of moment happened. But I have a character for Arc Point, so that's the fantasy noir game I'm in, called Miss Cotta. She speaks like this, and she like is obsessed with cleaning for various reasons. Other than that, she's a maid. That's part of it. But I'll find that when I'm cleaning, sometimes I'll switch into Miss Cotta's voice. And I'm like, hang on. No. Stay. She's got too much emotional trauma for us to be even remotely thinking about while we're doing these dishes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there's a few characters that come out. Yep. Talon. Just like going off of that really, really, really quickly. I was in this mini campaign with Legends of Aelos, which if you're not following them, you absolutely should because they're freaking amazing. But I was honored with the invite to be one of the actors and one of the players for a mini campaign while the main campaign took a break. And so I played Talon. And during the time at the very, very beginning, one, I need to work on my body, but I hate going to the gym. So I joined martial arts and I joined at the very beginning of the campaign. And so sometimes when I am doing martial arts or whatnot, Talon will come out. I'm like, hold up. No, thank you, sir. Like, I already cried for 8 hours over deaths of our friends. I don't need that right now. And, oh, yeah. No, the finale was terrible, and it took me 3 or 4 days to actually get fully out of character.
Yes, I remember you saying on the episode of Redania, like, you were like, I'm still in recovery mode, and I'm like, oh boy, do I feel that.
yeah, and you know, it's aftercare is necessary. You need to take care of yourself and who you are, and finding a way to ground back into your bones and not your character's bones is you know, something that is absolutely necessary that nobody seems to talk about in the acting or RP community.
Like, it's very important because especially very often with games like Dungeons & Dragons, you're exploring some trauma a lot of the time. And sometimes that can be like trauma that's built upon your own stuff because that's just what you know how to play, right? Like, it might be a very extreme version of that, or it could be like just in subtle, like tiny little drops, but it's still trauma, right? Like, let's not like ignore the fact that like, oh, your friend just died in the game and they're like, oh, I'm making a new one. I'm like, yeah, but my character doesn't know that they're still alive somewhere in like a different multiverse.
Exactly.
Right? Like, and it can be so devastating. I still remember when the paladin died in our Tomb of Annihilation game, but like, I took that as a character I created. I'm like, okay, this is the decisions that my character at the time, which was a lore bard, are going to take because I multiclassed into bardlock after that. I was a celestial bardlock because I wanted to be a healer. Because firstly, we had no healer now. And then secondly, we needed the spark of hope after that. That was brutal. And it was an unnecessary death too. It was just so... And then we lost another character. I was like, oh my goodness. Tomb of Annihilation is actually what it says on the tin, by the way. It's gonna hurt.
It's gonna hurt.
But like, the aftercare can be very simple. Like, there are other ways to do different rituals. For me, it's... Usually I draw fan art post a game if there's been like an experience just to get out that kind of like, these are the characters. And I am here. Like, there, it gives me like a semblance of control. Or I just have a shower. I like literally wash off my character and then I'm back to normal kind of thing. And like, and then I'm in my pajamas again. It might be the exact same outfit, but like, for me, that's sort of how I do it.
Oh yeah, water is great in cleansing.
Do you have a method?
One, I want to say that in acting, your body, and this has stuck with me for so long, your body does not know the difference between acting trauma and physical, actual, real trauma.
Yes!
So you have to take care of yourself because your body will get the fast heart rate. Your body will get shaky. Your body will cry because it is experiencing trauma. No matter if your brain understands that this is fake and I am acting it, your body knows no difference. So you have to take care of yourself. And I mean that with the utmost importance. Take care of yourself. When I come out of RP, when I, as an actor, my acting style, because I need to know my character, is this method acting. I get very deep into very deep into it.
Same. Yep.
And why it doesn't exist, it is nothing but the character.
Yes. 1000%.
Oh yeah. If I'm doing a one shot, that's different. I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm acting, it's fine. But if I'm like in something deep and something consistent, like Reese has his own personality now. And A similar thing with Talon.
Yep.
But when I come out of that, I didn't this time with Talon, but normally I will take my drum and I will ground myself. So a drum is it's a necessary tool in shamanism. Mm. And I have used it for years at this point. So this drum is very grounding to me, and hearing the sound of it, I'm able to find my own bones and find who I am. So I go a little bit more spiritual route for it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's still not enough, and it's a repetition of like, okay, I am Wyatt, I am not Talon. I am Wyatt, not Talon.
100%. Feel that. Well, after all of that wonderful, wonderful talk, thank you so much for talking. I really do genuinely feel super blessed to have talked to you. Where can we find you and all of the amazing stuff you do?
So on social media, you can find me under The Moonkeep. Instagram is the only one where it's the_moonkeep. Everything else is just... I am mostly on TikTok. My Instagram is growing. As far as other things, I have merchandise out. You can go to... I have a beacons.ai link in any of my social media accounts.
And we will link these down below.
Yes, we will. And I will also give a link to my... It's called Trinkets Mercantile. And I have so much merchandise for the Moonkeep, for the Sorghum Bakery, for the Tavern, for other things. And I have a Patreon. That is a very important thing that I need to start pushing. I have a Patreon that if you want to go support me, you are more than welcome. It is not necessary, but you do get a vocal recordings, audio recordings of my stories. You will get chances to be in polls and like put your input on what I should write about the world, legends you want to hear about, things you want to see in the Moonkeep. And in that being said, you'll also get, you know, bloopers and behind the scenes stuff kind of thing. So Patreon is this kind of thing that I hate monetizing my work, but it's something that as a creator, it will support me, and I will be able to create a more beautiful foreground and background and set, make recipes and create this book. And
oh, that makes me so, I'm so happy right now.
Just really stay tuned. I have so much for the Moonkeep going on, and I have this really, 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 and I mean really big event that I will be at, but I can't say anything about it yet because some massive things and people are, you know, incorporated, including myself, and it's not yet announced, but it's a very amazing, very soon thing that's happening in 2024 and 2025.
Soon, TM.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Lore Makers. Want to keep up with the podcast? Follow the Twitter @MakersLore or join the Discord where you can find news, future guest announcements, and get your questions featured on our next session. If you enjoyed the show, consider rating and leaving a review on your preferred podcast platform. Or you can tweet us, the color of your lantern light, so I know you were listening. Want to show your love and support? Why not join us at the Ko-fi Campfire Club and make our fire just a little brighter? Lots of love your way, my friends, and...
may the moon shine over your head.
See you around our campfire. Bye-bye!